Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, God is good all the time. Come on, has this been a good year? Has God been good to you this year? Maybe that's a better question. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can take your seat for a moment. Welcome to Pneuma. Thank you for coming on this last Sunday service of the year. I want to make a couple of announcements because we're getting ready to be back on our regular schedule. How many of you are tired of the holidays already? Amen. All right. We've been eating way too much. Like, that's not necessary. So this Saturday, this coming Saturday, we are going to kick off with corporate prayer at 7 a.m. What better way to open up the year than in prayer with the body of Christ? So we want to invite you. We want to invite the church. I know it's early, but you probably are already awake at that time anyway. So come this Saturday at 7 o'clock, and we're going to pray together. We're going to just kick off the year with the bang. Amen. And then our first Wednesday back is going to be on the 7th. So nothing this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we will be back to our regular Bible study. And I want to share these numbers with you. The final results are in. Well, maybe they're not final because hopefully we'll get some, today. But, you know, I've been sharing this, since November and kind of updating you, and maybe you're tired of hearing it already, but these are the numbers that I rejoice over. It's good to see a full house, but I've said it many times. If we have a full house empty of the Spirit, what are we even doing here? So the numbers that matter are these. We have 252 salvations this year. Come on, you can do better than that, man. That's 252 people saying yes to Jesus, 52 baptisms. Come on. That's the number of people that we have outreached, 1162. Praise God, through our evangelism and through our Pneuma Closet and food distribution. Guys, this is not possible without the help of the church. This is what it's about. This is the church deployed out into the world. This is what it means. This is what Jesus meant when he told his disciples, go out into the world and disciple and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing, and I give glory to God for that. So thank you. Give yourself and the Holy Spirit's empowerment over this church a round of applause. Amen. All right. Last Sunday sermon of the year. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 19, and I made sure to double check that it was the right chapter. Genesis 19, if you would stand with me, and we're going to read a few verses this morning. Genesis 19, 12 through 26. I need you to help me preach this morning. I need you to be ready for this word. Tell the person next to you, be ready for this word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis 19, 12 through 26. It says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone that you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take up your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And Lot said to them, oh, no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight. And you have shown me great kindness in saving my life, but I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? and my life will be saved. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar, and then the sun rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've put on my heart, Father God, as this last sermon of this year, Father God. I pray, Lord, that as I have received it, your people would receive it this morning. Holy Spirit, be on my lips, my God. Bring healing, bring edification, bring conviction, my God. Bring us into a better place with you, Father God, to where we are doing your will, Father God, to where we are dwelling in the place that you have called your people to dwell in, Father God. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak this morning using the title, Moved with Mercy. Moved with Mercy. This is the last Sunday of the year. I believe that what God wants to speak today is also going to play into next Sunday's sermon, which God has really just been pouring on my heart for the past several weeks. So I want to see you at the first Sunday of the year. Don't miss out, because I know that God has a word for you. And he also has one for you today. This story kind of feels weird as a last Sunday of the year type of message, but there's a lot in this that kind of resonates with me personally during this end of year kind of season. Whenever we come to the end of any year, many of us take this time to reflect, and we sum up the year and we characterize it as either a great year or a tough year or a year of testing or a year of blessing. I've already heard from many of you how this year has been for you, and I know that for many of you it has been a hard year. It's been a year of loss. It's been a year of sickness. It's been a year of a lot of problems. And for others, it's been a great year. 2025 has been maybe your best year yet. For me, I spoke at a men's breakfast that we had recently, and I told them that for me, this was an okay year. Not great, but I've had worse. But whatever year you've had, regardless of what type of year you've had, I think we all need to pause and choose to rejoice and be glad. That is so important for us to do and practice with intention. I don't want to downplay anybody's really hard year. I know some of you did really have a hard year, but however hard it was, look, you're here. You made it. You're here at the very last service of the year. Some people are not, they can't say that. They're going to wait till January to start coming back to church. But you made it. You walked through those doors, and maybe it was really hard to walk through those doors. Maybe you felt like you were crawling through those doors, but you made it standing in the presence of God, singing his praises. That is the win, if there ever was one. If my family can get through hell in a year, and we're still standing by each other's side at the end of it, still saying that God is good, even though our season has not been, that is the win that God is looking for, is a posture of worship in every type of season. And that's why you're here. And to be honest with you, man, there's plenty that I can complain about. Anybody have something to complain about? Yeah, if we looked hard enough, we probably don't even need to look that hard. We can find something to complain about, but there's also plenty to be grateful for. And scripture commands me to rejoice and be glad. And so that's what I'm going to choose to do. Amen. Now, at the same time, you can rejoice and you can be glad while also being critical of your life and of your choices and of your habits. There's really no point of being critical on things that you can't control, but we can be critical of ourselves. And so while this is a time of reflection, it's also a time of planning and analyzing and strategizing and goal making. And let's be honest, some of us are going to be making the same goal that we've made the past 5 years, right? You don't even need to update your New Year's resolution. You just got to change the date from 2025 to 2026. That's all you got to do. I'm gonna read you some of my personal goals that I made at the start of the year. I get a little crazy at the end of every year. I get dialed in and focused and hypercritical of myself, and I make all kinds of goals: personal goals, spiritual goals, pastoral goals, business goals. I'm gonna read you some of my personal goals, okay? It's going to sound a little selfish, but because it's about me. These are personal goals, okay? You ready for it? I'm letting you into my life, into my diary here. Okay, this is what I wrote. This is what I wrote in 2024 of December. I said, by the end of 2025, I will have read, not including the Bible, 24 books. I will have reached my goal of 12 to 15% body fat. I still have 3 days left. Don't judge me yet. I will have finished my book. Guys, I've been trying to write a book for the past 7 years, and it has not happened. I've started and scratched like 10 of them. So that's an update there. Run a 7-minute mile. I ran the other day an 11-minute mile, and I felt like I was about to die. So not there yet. Pay off a certain amount of debt. We did that, praise God. And the last one's a little too personal. I'm not going to share that one. But some of these are going to transfer to 2026. 2026 is my year. Amen. How many of you say that? 2026 is my year. I've always been like this. I've always been goal-oriented and focused and try to be disciplined. But I think my life, honestly, has gotten really busy to accomplish every goal that I make for myself. That's my excuse. That I'm too busy. And because I'm too busy, I'm too exhausted to focus on things that I want to accomplish for myself. And so I've got to let some things go. That's my excuse. And I think we all have excuses. And some of them are valid excuses and some of them are not. But the point that I'm trying to make is that as I read through this text this week, a thought came to mind that many times the only thing holding us back from making any kind of progress is our insistence on staying where we have been. Many of us like the idea of getting out and getting better and doing things that we know we should be doing and eating better and being healthier and getting closer to God and being better managers of our money and our time and better spouses and better parents. But because we don't take these things seriously enough, we fail to move the needle. And instead of making progress, we stay stuck in the same places that we've always been, that is little by little taking away the full potential that we have to offer to God and to others and to ourselves. Yesterday, we had a nice little family breakfast. And, you know, we were talking about, I was asking the girls what their goals were for the year. And I had to stop and apologize in the middle of all of it. I said, I'm sorry because... And this was kind of hard for me to do, just to be serious for a moment with my family and vulnerable. I said, I'm sorry because I haven't been the best in this particular area that I committed to being better in. I said, I've gotten lazy in this area. I've lacked the discipline. I've gotten distracted. I've lacked the focus and this commitment that I made to myself and to God for our family because I lacked the seriousness. And I failed you in the process. I failed to lead you correctly. And so I had to apologize to my family because I failed them. I'm not trying to compare Lot's situation to losing a little bit of weight. This isn't a message about your goals. This is a message about movement. The type of movement that is governed by the Holy Spirit. We are a church, and we've always sought to be a church that is moved, led, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is the mission of Pneuma, to be a church that is moved and led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That means that we are guided by His will. This requires us knowing who He is. It requires prayer and sanctification. It requires listening to Him and ridding ourselves of habits that are contrary to that mission. See, God was trying to move Lot and his family outside of this place that He was getting ready to destroy. That's the whole narrative here. Sodom and Gomorrah were not places that welcomed anything godly. There were none found to be righteous in neither city. But because God showed favor to Abraham, He extended that favor to Abraham's nephew, Lot, and his family. And so God sends these two messengers to warn Lot of this coming destruction. And they tell him to move. Get out of this city. You and your family. And be spared of this judgment that is coming upon these cities. And something that I find interesting is in verse 13, it says, "For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against his people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So there were people crying out to God saying, "God, these people are intolerable. Destroy them. We don't want to deal with him anymore. How many times have we prayed a prayer like that? How many times have we asked God to get us out of this mess that we're in? God, deliver me from this. Make this go away. Make them go away. Change my circumstance. And then when God begins to make some adjustments and send some people your way, some things your way to clear that path so that you can move, how many of us stay stuck where we are? The very next verse says that Lot went to tell his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters, of this coming destruction, but he seemed to them to be joking. There was no seriousness in Lot's voice. There was no urgency in his command to get them out of this city. So much so that his sons-in-law ended up staying where they were, and God destroyed the city with them in it because of Lot's lack of seriousness to move when God said to move. There are some things in our lives, church, that we need to begin taking more seriously than we've been taking them. I don't know what you have been praying for. I don't know what you've been asking God to take you out of. But listen, when God shows you mercy, mercy is a second chance when you didn't even deserve the first one. Mercy is God opening up a door when all of the other doors have been shut and locked behind you. You have got to move when God shows you mercy. You've got to start doing your part and stop making excuses and stop dragging your feet and start getting serious. When God extends mercy, it's so that we can do better. It's so that we can go from glory to glory. It's not so that we can stay where we've always been. It's not so that we can move three steps behind us. But when we take God's mercy, listen, somebody, and we do nothing with it, when we dig it in the ground and we bury it and we just say, God, thank you for the mercy, that is a disregard and a disrespect for the movement of the Spirit over your life. We have got to move with the mercy that's been shown to us. Some of you, God has shown mercy in your marriage. He's given your marriage another chance. He's given your financial situation another chance, your relationships another chance, your relationship with him another chance. And God is saying, you don't belong in that broken marriage anymore. I fixed that already. Stop going backwards. I restored those relationships with your friends. Why are you doing the same thing that got you into an unhealthy place to begin with? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Somebody, God is telling you today, I've shown you mercy in your finances. I got you out of that broke mindset. Why are you again spending money that you don't even have? I already forgave you of those sins. I already extended grace. I extended mercy. Why are you still flirting with the world? You got to move with the mercy. Verse 15 says, as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take up your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of his city. But he lingered. He lingered. Some other versions say he hesitated. Lot hesitated. And I know it's easy for some of us to be like, Lot, bro, like, get with the program. God is about to destroy the city with your family in it, right? But if we're really honest with ourselves, there's probably a lot in our own lives that is keeping us from moving from glory to glory. There might even be some things that are contributing to our own demise. Y'all ready? What you eat. What you put in your body. I know this is hard, right, during the holidays, and I got to tell myself this as well, but we're going to preach what I believe is godly. What you put in your body, what you eat, what you watch, what you listen to, who you listen to, what you're spending your money on, what you're saying you're going to do but never do it. We say we want to be people who honor God completely, but then we linger in certain areas that are leading to our decay and destruction. We linger because we want to stay in what is comfortable for as long as we possibly can. Sometimes in the morning, Melissa and I, we stay in bed longer than we should. And we even say it. We should probably get up. She'll say it first and then I'll say it. We should probably get up. We need to get the day going. But it's comfortable and it's warm and it's peaceful. The girls aren't awake yet. And so we want to stay there as long as we possibly can. We linger, which is telling of so much. How many times do we hear people saying, man, I want to go to church more. I want to get my family more involved, but Sunday is the only day I have off. So we linger. We want to exercise because we know that after you get to a certain age, your body starts to betray you. And it's happening to me. And we want to be better, but we linger. We want to get out of debt, but then we see a nice car that we want to see in our driveway. So we linger. We linger too long in the places that God is trying to move us from, because even though we want to be in glory, we also want to be in what's comfortable and familiar. You can't have both. See, in our minds, we're in glory. In our mind, this is why it's so easy for us to make goals. Like nonchalantly, oh, this year I'm going to get 6% body fat. This year I'm going to pay off $200,000 in debt. This year, like we're in our minds, we're there. It's easy to make these goals because they're just hopes and dreams and wishes. Goals present a vision of yourself that you see in your mind, but in the flesh, we linger. In the bad habits, we linger. In the mess, we linger. In the laziness, we linger. In the disorganization, we linger. We linger in places that we should have never even been in the first place, which causes then to move slowly when God says, hey, it's time to go. Get out of here. Because we know that God is known for taking us out of our comfort zones and into places that our flesh doesn't want to go. But he is a merciful God. And so when you say, Lord, I want to be better. God, I'm committing to being better. God, this is my year. He's going to give you mercy. He's going to give you opportunities to please him again. His mercies are new every single day. So when I say, God, I'm gonna do better this day, and then I fail him this day, there's tomorrow, and his mercies are new again. Thanks be to my God for his mercy that never runs dry. But too many times, we take the mercy. Again, we say thank you, and we do nothing with it. We squander it. And so the Bible says, the men seized Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and they set him outside the city. Lot was so chill that these guys had to actually take him and drag him outside of the city. Like, how many of us just legit, we do not deserve the mercy of God? If I'm reading this story and I look at Lot's life and I'm like, bro, that guy did not deserve the mercy of God. If he wasn't quick to get up, then he should have just stayed there and the sulfur and the fire did what they were going to do. But the men seized him and dragged him out of the city. Is this a lot for the last Sunday of the year? If we keep reading the story, it's a lot of the same thing. The angels tell Lot to escape to the hills. They say, go to the hills. And Lot says, well, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything that you've done, but I'll never make it in the hills. He says, actually, there's a nice little city over here. It's called Zoar. If you let me go there, bet. And that's where he goes. And so you look at Lot, and there's just always an excuse. There's always a rebuttal. There's always a lack of seriousness. To me, Lot depicts a mediocre, lazy, poor leader of a father and a husband. He is everything I never want to become. He is a squanderer of God's mercy. And yet, sometimes in certain areas of my life, I find myself just like him. And so my challenge to myself and my challenge to all of us, kids and women and men, is that we would move with haste and seriousness in the mercy of God. How many have been granted mercy by God? Don't waste it. Today is another day. Today is another opportunity to please him. If God pulled you out of some things, don't waste it. And so my declaration for my life is that 2026 is not going to be a year of excuses. It's not going to be a year of laziness. It's going to be a year where I take serious things seriously. It's going to be a year where, because of God's mercy, I move to glory. Many times, the only thing holding us back from progress is our insistence on staying where we've been. Now, maybe in your mind, you're not insisting on staying there. In your mind, you're already there. You're already the new you in your mind. You can see it. You can picture it. But in your heart and in your flesh, you are. And you've tried so many times to be better. You've tried so many times to read your Bible more. You've tried so many times to be a better husband. You've tried so many times to be more patient with your kids. Tried so many times. You've tried so many times to break these bad habits and these bad lifestyles. And year after year after year after year, you go through the same cycle, just editing the year, because the things never change. And so listen, if you haven't heard anything I've said yet, this is what God really wanted me to pull you into. Maybe for 2025, 2026, this transition, the thing that you need is not to make more goals for yourself. Maybe the thing that you need to do is repent. We use the word repent when it comes to sin. But sin's not the only thing that you repent from. It's the most important thing that you repent from. But if we're honest, I think we could probably all repent from some things that will not lead us to hell, but are some things that are hindering the optimal spirit-led version of ourselves. I don't know about you, but I want to be the optimal spirit-filled version of myself so that I can be better for my God, so that I can be better for my wife, so that I can be better for my children, so that I can be better for my church. I want to be the best that I can be, all to the honor and the glory of God. So sometimes it's not just about saying, God, I want to be better. It's about repenting from the things that prohibit me from giving him more. And so maybe you've been hanging your head for the past couple months and you've been saying, walking around telling everybody, this has been a tough year. It's been such a hard year. Maybe shift that and choose to rejoice. Choose to be glad. That is a spirit-filled version of yourself. I don't want to be walking around in captivity if God has already freed me. I don't want to squander that second and third and fourth chances that God has given me. And so there are some things that we need to repent from. There are some things that we need to turn from. That's what repentance means. It is a turning away from something and committing to leaving it behind. Maybe you need to repent from laziness. You might not go to hell because you're lazy, but you're going to miss out on some God-given blessings because you were too slow to get up and get them. You drug your feet. And when God was saying, move and go, you were like, I don't want to. And you missed it. And because you missed it, you'll never meet the goals that you make for yourself. Repent. Maybe you need to repent from impatience because you have made, and I'm speaking to myself, okay? I've made some dumb decisions because I simply lack the ability to wait on the Lord. Some of you need to repent from being a hot mess. There ain't nothing hot about being a mess. I don't even know who said that. But it has contributed to so much time wasted, so much disorganization that could have been avoided. And because of it, you cannot give God excellence. Repent from what has been crippling you and move forward with the mercy that God has shown you. And can I also tell somebody today? Are you still listening? Stop identifying with things that are not a part of your identity. Stop saying, oh, it's just because I'm so lazy. I'm just so slothful. Stop saying that. Stop identifying with these things. Stop identifying with the victim-minded mentality. Stop identifying as a hurt person where everybody's just out to get you and you're Truman in the Truman Show. God has sent mercy your way to get you out of the path of destruction, not just for you either, for the generations who come after you, who depend on you today. I've got kids depending on me for the future. I gotta get my life together. I gotta get my act together. I gotta start doing the things that I said that I was going to do for them. I just imagine God just shaking up Lot like, Lot, I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save your family. Move with some seriousness, man. Move quickly. Move like your life depends on it. I didn't call you to live in the city. I called you to dwell in my presence. Sometimes the only thing holding us back from movement is our insistence on staying where we have been. I'm almost done, but I want you to check out the last few verses, 24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. If I'm Lot, I would take all that blame on me. Because I was slothful. I didn't take it seriously. I didn't say, babe, we need to go, and we need to go now. And we're leaving everything in the past. Don't even pack a bag. We're going. We're leaving. But I believe Lot's attitude, Lot's laziness, Lot's lack of urgency poured into his wife, as it often does. Into his kids, as it often does. Creating a word that I always hate to say, generational curses. It begins with you, man of God. It begins with you, woman of God. She looked back and she was consumed. Here's where we insert all the cliches of not looking back and not dwelling in the past and the mistakes and the regrets and keep forward and pressing on. All of that is good. Yes, do that. But to me, this is more about true repentance. I believe that Lot was a plague to his family because of his lack of urgency, because he lacked the seriousness. His wife clung to the past. Listen, true repentance. Listen, somebody. Look over here. Real quick. True repentance cannot have a fascination with what's behind you. Because you've got to be so concerned with what's ahead of you and where God is moving you to that you can't even look behind you. My parents got Ellie a bike for Christmas and she loves it. That is the best gift other than the gift that we got her. Which she loves too. But we've been riding it pretty much every day. And Ellie is a quick learner. She's fast. And she's hauling butt on this bike. But I'm constantly walking or jogging behind her. And a lot of times she'll do this and then she'll start to drift. She'll look back to see if I'm there. And she starts to drift off course. I'm like, Ellie, you got to look in front of you, girl. Don't look behind you. Because when you start to move behind you, that's when disaster can strike. True repentance cannot have a fascination with what's behind you. Because if you have a fascination, if you are clinging to it, you will look back. You will identify with the things that are not even a part of your calling anymore, and you will never have the freedom that God wants you to walk in. Church, I want you to have a blessed 2026. Whatever God defines by blessed, that's what I want over your life, and that's what I want over my life. And so God gave this sermon to me to receive, not just to preach. And so I am receiving this word because I believe that God is trying to take me out of places and put me into better places. And I believe that's the truth for all of us. But we have to repent from things that are prohibiting the movement. Listen, God doesn't just want your mind, church. God wants your heart. It's not enough to say, I want to be more like Jesus. It's not enough to make plans to do godly things. He wants your action. He wants your movement. He wants your heart. And thankfully, through the blood of Christ and the grace and the mercy that he's extended to all of us, every single day we have that opportunity to become more like him. Even if you think that you can't, you can. He's given you that freedom. And so my challenge to you this morning is to move with the mercy that has been granted to you, to repent of everything that is holding you back, and don't look back. Now I want you to stand with me. And I have a very specific altar call that I want to make this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead this moment, my God. Lord, I pray that you would soften hearts right now, Father. That you would give us a heart of repentance, Father God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Okay. I have a very specific altar call. And once I'm done, I'm going to have the worship team sing. This might not be for everybody. I'm going to say this right now. Some of you are going to think that it's silly and unnecessary. Some of you might not even be ready for it yet. That's fine. This is not for you. But for those that are ready for this, we just talked about taking the serious thing seriously. And so if you have a family member here with you, maybe a spouse or a child, or maybe your whole family's here, I want you to get with them. And if you don't have a family member here, maybe you have a friend, I want you to get with somebody who can hold you accountable. That's what this is about. It's about accountability. Find somebody who can hold you accountable. And what I want you to do in just a moment, listen, I want you to repent. I want you to say it out loud. You're not repenting to them, and you might not even be repenting from sin, but you are letting them know that this is what God wants me to take seriously. This is what God is calling me to or calling me out from. I don't care if it's overspending. I don't care if it's laziness. I don't care if it's anger. Whatever it is that you are lingering in, I want you to tell somebody. And I want you to say, I'm going to give this to God. And I want you to keep me accountable. Okay? And if you have nobody to pray with, the prayer team is ready to pray with you. But I want us to do this now. Can you go and find somebody? Find somebody. Moment right now, my God. Now I want you to begin to repent and tell him, this is what God is calling me to take seriously. This is what God is calling me out of. This is what God is calling me into. And then I want you to pray for one another. Come on, do that right now.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.